This morning, I'm going to do a little bit of a different message for you that are students here. Typically, I would take a passage of Scripture and I would expound the Bible and preach and teach it. Today, I'd like to take really just a general big picture overview of one basic truth or one basic principle that will be filled with scriptural statements along the way. Those of you that were here last night and you heard Rand Hummel speak, his sermon was really based on one word. At least he told me that this morning. His sermon last night was the word what?
Read.
He talked about reading your Bible. So with that this morning, my message this morning is a little different. It's the word lead. The need to lead. Can you say the word lead for me? Ready?
Lead.
When our founder, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., started this school, he said that the mission of Bob Jones University was to train Christian leaders for a chaotic world. I wanted to be very clear this morning that the future of everything is based on leadership. The future of the country, the future of the church, the future of the workplace, the future of families, the future of schools is all based on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. What makes a great basketball team? You can have all the skills in the world, but every coach knows you need to have good senior leadership to have a good team. Those of you that are guests here probably have seen around campus our motto. It's three words. The words are learn, love, and lead. These three words are a progression of thought. In other words, one follows the next. You can't be a leader if you're not a learner. You cannot be a leader if you're not a lover. You have to learn, you have to learn to love, and you have to then learn how to lead. But still, nonetheless, you have to learn to be a leader. I expect every single student that graduates from Bob Jones University to go out in the world wherever God puts them and to be leaders. Everything rises and falls on leadership. So, what is a leader? Well, let me ask you a question. Who was the world's greatest leader? Say his name. Say it like you believe it. His name is Jesus. Then what did Jesus come to do as a leader? And the Bible tells us that Jesus clearly states that he was not like the leaders of the world. He was very different. Do you remember that the mother of James and John came to Jesus and asked if her two boys could sit on either side of Jesus when he rules in the kingdom? I mean, you think of a king, his throne, and on either side of him. And Jesus made it very clear that this was not his decision. It was his Father's decision. Even leaders are under authority. And the other disciples understandably heard the boy's mother, what she requested. And obviously she got upset and they got upset because in the world, leadership always has to do with position, power, prestige. My youngest son, Michael, who is 26 years old, lives in the city of Jerusalem. He and I were very close as he was growing up. And when he was about 10 years old, he came to me one day. I was the director of a camp up in northeastern Wisconsin. He said to me, he said, Dad, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. I said, son, why do you want to be just like me? He says, because all you do is sit behind that desk and tell everybody what to do. I said, son, that's not leadership. Listen to what Jesus said. He says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be your slave. And even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. What did Jesus come to do as the world's greatest leader? He came to serve. He was not a ruler, but he was a slave to his Father's will. He came to serve and to give his life. What is a leader? In essence, a leader is a savior. For what did Jesus come to do? He came to give his life as a ransom. He came to serve. He came to save. A leader comes to rescue. A leader comes to deliver. A leader comes to redeem. A leader comes to fix what is broken. A leader comes to solve problems. Show me the problem solver and I'll show you the leader. We have 4 grandsons in my family. They're all from the same mom. Their ages are 7, 6, 5, and 3. Could you imagine what their life is like? And so my son Stephen is trying to teach his 4 boys how to be leaders, and basically it's how to get along with each other, how to solve problems, how to fix things. Somebody asked me one time, what is your job as the president of Bob Jones University? And my answer is fix stuff. Fix stuff. If the corner looks ugly, let's fix it. If it's broken, let's fix it. What is a leader? A leader is one who comes, if I could say, to save. Not like Jesus who died on the cross, but in the sense of being one who comes to rescue, to redeem, and to deliver. Think about it. The Bible says that Jesus is a shepherd. And he takes care of his sheep. What does the shepherd do? He feeds them. He leads them. He guides them. He guards them. He protects them. He provides for them. And in a sense, a good shepherd is constantly saving his sheep. And Jesus is the good shepherd. We have a granddaughter. Her name is Sydney. Obviously the most beautiful girl in the world. Our daughter Rachel is essentially not only her mother, but she is her savior, because she cares for her and she worries about her and she prays for her and she protects her. Did you ever stop to think that you probably would not be alive without your parents' protection? I mean, how many of you would have died by sticking your finger in a light socket, electrical socket? How many of you would have eaten things that you should have never eaten? How many of you would have drank things underneath the sink that would kill you? And what have your parents done? They have protected you. They have cared for you. You could say that they have, in a sense, saved you. Therefore, a leader is a savior, a deliverer. A leader is a problem solver. The greatest problem in the world is sin. And Jesus came to save us from our sins. He is a leader. He fixes problems. He reversed the curse. He came to undo what had been done. Adam messed things up, and Jesus came to clean up Adam's mess and fix the problem. That's a leader, a problem solver. They fix broken things. A few years ago, one of our students, in a sense, became my savior. His name is Lucas Darling. He's worked here on staff at Bob Jones. We selected him to be in the president's club for some of the things that he did because he worked in our audiovisual department. I told him that I had a flat screen TV at my house and the sound was not coming out of it. That's a problem. He said he could fix it. I said, praise the Lord. So he came over to my house, and apparently it was a bit complicated. If it was complicated for him, it would be impossible for me. And after a couple of hours of working on the television, he got it fixed. The problem was solved, and my wife was deliriously happy. In a sense, he showed his leadership by coming and solving a problem. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be a leader? Everybody in this room ought to be a leader. Why? Because you ought to be a problem solver. A leader, in a sense, is a savior. You fix what is broken. You rescue what is lost. You liberate what is enslaved. You heal, in a sense, what is sick. You seek what is lost. You bind up what is wounded. You comfort what is depressed. You help those who are in need. The need today is to lead. What the world needs today are people who can go out and fix things that are broken and solve problems and help people. So what does it take to be a leader? Two key ideas this morning. Number one, if you're going to be a leader, you have to believe in something passionately. That passionate belief leads you to be committed to a purpose, a mission that fits those beliefs or ideals that you believe. Leaders are passionate. And their external mission simply reflects their internal beliefs. I have four children. Their ages are 40, 38, 34, and 26. Rebecca, Rachel, Stephen, and Michael. In one way, I really failed as a father in raising them, because I really didn't teach them to go out and make money. That's not really what I taught. And so we kind of joke about it in our family, like, Dad, you helped us to do a lot of things. You did not help us learn how to make money. So I didn't do a good job on that one. But what we did teach our children is that God has a calling on your life and God has a purpose on your life. And you're to live out in your life what God has worked in your heart. And you're going to have to pray and ask him to lead you and guide you, but you're to live your life with a passion for what God wants you to do. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is your passion? When Jesus came into the world, he came on mission. What was his mission? To seek and to save that which is lost. But what drove him? It came out of his Father's heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He was driven by love. In life, we're either driven by fear or we're driven by love. We are afraid and therefore we are motivated by fear, or we have what we love and that's what drives us. We're people who have convictions and beliefs. When Dr. Bob Jones Sr. founded Bob Jones University, it was started in 1927. When he started the school, he started it because of the negative effects of the secular and liberal education that was going on in the United States of America in the 1920s. Think about that. Those convictions led to the founding of the school. A leader has convictions that leads him or her to be committed to a mission that fits those beliefs or those ideals. When I came to be the president at Bob Jones University, one of the first questions I was asked is, what are you going to change? And my response then and my response now has always been the same. I didn't come to change things. I came to lead things. That's my job. And it's based on a mission. We have a mission. It's what drives us. It's why people come to work here. It's why people get up every morning and come to serve here. And the job of the leader is to keep us on mission with passion and with heart. Anything that doesn't help us fulfill our mission as effective is something that needs to be fixed or changed. But a leader is a person who knows what they believe, and they have a mission and they have a passion to fulfill that mission. What is behind being a leader? I love this in the U.S. Army's training manual. They define leadership. I love this. Listen to it. What is a leader? It is the process of influencing people. The process of influencing people by providing purpose, direction, and motivation to accomplish the mission and improve the organization. Let me read it again. A leader is defined as the process, or leadership is defined as the process of influencing people by providing purpose, direction, and motivation. We call that trust and inspire. To accomplish the mission and improve the organization. What is behind being a leader? The belief that a mission has to be accomplished. I work on a floor with vice presidents. We are all there for one purpose. It's the mission, and we're all passionate about it. And when we come to work every morning, we leave a lot of things at the door when we come in. We leave self-will. We leave our own purposes. We leave our own pride. We leave our own stuff. We leave that there. That's not the purpose. We're not here for that. We're here for this, for the mission. That's a person that's going to make a difference in the world. Something has to be won. Something has to be gained. Something has to be accomplished. Something has to be fixed. Something has to be built. Someone has to be helped. And when someone makes a commitment to a mission, what does it show? You know what it actually shows? It actually shows humility. How can you say that? Because humility is not somebody who thinks less of themselves. A humble person is not somebody who thinks less of themselves. A humble person is one who doesn't think about themselves. What does the Bible say? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It's about the mission. It's about serving them. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Humility is being committed to a mission and putting others around you first before you. That's a leader. A leader serves the people around them. And what is behind being a leader? As I've already said, you have to believe something. You have to have convictions. What are your convictions this morning? What do you believe? What is your passion? What things that are firmly rooted in God's truth are the very things that are driving you and motivating you? Good night. I mean, if you're 18 years old and you're graduating from high school, and the best answer you can give when somebody says, what are you going to do when you graduate from high school? And you say, oh, man, what's your mission? Read the book. Jesus said in Luke 22:14, listen to this. He was getting ready to have the Lord's Supper, the Passover meal with his disciples. And listen to what he said. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus knew he was going to go to the cross. He knew he was going to suffer, bleed, and die. And what did he say? He says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. The phrase, with desire, I have desired, they're the two exact same Greek words. Those of you that know Greek, is epithymia. It's a strong desire. It's often used for negative things like lust. But Jesus is simply saying this, it is with passion that I have passionately desired to eat. And let me ask you a question. When you read your Bible, where do you see that passion of Jesus in his life? Think about it. When he was 12 years old, he said to his own parents, Mom and Dad, don't you know that I have to be about my Father's business? At 12 years old, you see within him a passion to follow the Lord and do God's will. No one ever accomplished anything of real purpose and meaning that was done half-heartedly or lukewarm. That's the curse of leadership. Nothing great was achieved without enthusiasm. Leaders are passionate. Leaders are burdened. Leaders push through difficulties and overcome barriers to fulfill the mission. Leaders hate status quo. What is behind being a leader? You have to believe passionately. And then secondly, you have to be willing to take risks. Leadership does not come without a price tag. It's not developed on a couch. It's not found in following the crowd. And it's not given to those who want to be like everybody else. Leadership does not come without a price tag. That's why a lot of people don't want to be leaders. Why? Because it's risky business. What are the risks? Number one, the potential of failure. You cannot be a coach without losing some games. You cannot be a teacher without losing some students. You can't be in a relationship without the possibility of having your heart broken. You cannot be a pastor without some of the sheep biting you back. But it is better to try and not succeed than to try nothing at all. Number two, there is the risk of potential rejection. Guaranteed, leadership leads to various forms of rejection. Think about what the Bible says. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Pilate said to the Jews, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" And they said, "Crucify him." I think of what it's like to be a student leader on the campus of Bob Jones. The president of, the chaplain of, an RAN, whatever. And then I think of what Jesus said. He came unto his own and his own received him not. If you're learning to be a leader, then you're learning to take risks that might cause you to be rejected. That's a part of leadership. But if you're a person of conviction and you believe things, you cannot not do something, no matter the risk. And then finally, there is just simply a risk in making improvements. The problem with improvements for some is that it can make the past look bad. But to make improvements today does not say that what was done yesterday was wrong or they made a mistake. It's just reality. It means they simply serve your generation. A leader serves his generation. New leaders come and they serve their generation. What does the definition of leadership from the Army say? The process of influencing people by providing purpose, direction, and motivation to accomplish the mission and improve the organization. Everything can improve. Processes, methods, procedures, policies, facilities. The only thing that doesn't need to improve is truth. This doesn't need to be improved. It needs to be believed. And everything else can get better. We are being sanctified progressively, and hopefully that means improvement. It means that we haven't arrived. A leader wants to leave things better off than when he arrives so that the next leader can move things forward where they are to where they need to go. That's a leader. Let me say this in conclusion. The world today is crying out for principled leaders. People who have convictions, commitments, character, and compassion. Who go out on mission to save others by serving them. So I'd like to challenge the student body of Bob Jones University, and those of you that are our guest, go be a leader and go make a difference. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are an example of leadership, how you came and gave your life as a ransom for many. Lord, we confess that we fail a lot, all the time. But we also thank you, Lord, that you pick us up. And it's not about perfection, it's about service. It's not about fear, it's about love. And Lord, help us to go out into the world and make a difference for your name's sake and for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.